Okay, Christmas is over.
Yeah.
And you will always get two kinds of reactions, those that are very sad and those that are very glad. We've had the annual big build-up to Christmas that seems to have been stretching back for an awful long time. And then, as normally happens, it occurs and it's almost like dropping over the cliff edge, isn't it? Stephen, could you put the first slide up, please? So we've had the Christmas celebration with all the delights and everything else. But what comes after the Christmas celebration? The Christmas slump. Okay, so you go over the hill and down you go. You're glad it's over. You've got to the end. If it was anything on Christmas Day like it was at our house, I don't know whether you've ever seen it, but our kitchen is quite small. It's compact, as they say. You know, in your estate agent vernacular, it's you know, everything's easy to hand. In other words, it's cramped. Yeah. Well, on Christmas Day, at one point, there were three of us sort of reaching over other people and everything else, you know, pots and pans and everything else. But do you suffer from that Christmas slump? Where the excitement that's been building climaxes on that day and then it just drops. You get the idea of the holiday coming up, you're building up for it, it happens and it all seems to go over in a flash and it's a blur and everything's gone, done and dusted. And you just press on to the next thing. You look and you think, what's going to come next? I'm looking forward to maybe a break at Easter or a summer holiday or something like that. You forget Christmas and you're heading on towards the next thing. It suddenly happened. It's done. It's finished. But what about all those gifts? Well, some gifts are very short-lived. They've sort of got a Christmas cracker type of duration. You know what? You know, you see the nice glistening Christmas cracker. You grab it, pull, bang, it's gone. It's a sort of little plastic thing and you wonder what I'm supposed to do with this. And then it's forgotten. Some gifts are like that. Some gifts are readily consumed. This Christmas we got Stephen a big Christmas tree, right? But it was a fudge Christmas tree. About that tall, about that thick. Boy, you ought to see how fast he went down that. He bit into it, it was good, and then it was gone. Other gifts, I don't know where you've ever been in this situation, I have. You get this gift, you think, wow, that's brilliant. I don't know, sometimes a remote toy, your remote control toy, something like that, a helicopter, you set it going, it hits the light, smashes into pieces, and it's done and dusted and gone. You thought, wow, there it is. Yeah, gone, bust, no spare parts, get shoved into the box, and pushed away and forgotten. Some gifts you receive and you look at them and you think, what on earth am I going to do with this? Well, we've actually had one of those, except the person or people that gave it to us forgot to take the label off. So we got this and thought, oh, I don't really reckon much to that. And then you look inside and it says to, and you think, oh, right, they've just passed that on to us because they didn't know what to do with it either. Some gifts, though, are well-loved. You get the gift, you look at it, and you think, that is exactly what I wanted. You think, wow, these people who bought me this must know me, because they've got me exactly what I was after. It's cherished. You delight in it. You look and you think, wow. But even then, those gifts can wear out. Perhaps you use them so much that you just come to the end of the life. Sometimes they're worn out. The only problem with being the son of a preacher is you often get used as an example. There was one year we got Stephen a Batman outfit. And he adored this Batman outfit. He wore it all the time. In fact, we went out one time and it was freezing cold. And he wanted to wear his Batman outfit. And Batman doesn't wear an overcoat, does he? So he went out in this Batman outfit, and he was totally frozen. His teeth literally were chattering. And he says, can I have an ice cream? But that Batman outfit, he loved it. We had to sort of take it off him at the end of the day, wash it and get it back, because we knew that tomorrow, what are you going to wear, Stephen? Batman outfit. And he wore it out.
He's still wearing it.
No. I'm afraid it was quite a bit smaller than he is now. But that but that gift was something that he wanted, he loved, and he cherished it. And gifts can be like that, can't they? You get something and you cherish it. This is something. Something that maybe endures longer than that. Something that lasts longer than that. Something that perhaps is handed down to next generation. On the other hand, there are some gifts that in and of themselves seem totally insignificant. It looks perhaps just like a slip of paper. But on that slip of paper could be something that is really important. But to look on the outside, you think, what's this? You open it up, and as a youngster, you see that your parents have paid for a set of driving lessons. So the actual paper itself is of very little value. But what that speaks of is something of greater value. Sometimes insignificant presents can be life-changing. Presents that you look at and you think, well, what's this going to do? Or, oh, well, it's just a toy. Some years ago, there was a young lad called Tommy Emmanuel, 4 years old, and he received the gift of a guitar. And 50-odd years or so later, this has been the result. Could you play that slide, please? This will last for about 4 minutes. Thank you. But the present that Tommy Emmanuel received when he was 4 years old was a simple guitar. Who at that point could have said that 50 odd years down the line he'd be able to do that? There was so much sealed up in that, and yet so much came out of it eventually. Some gifts can seem insignificant in and of themselves, as I say, but they contain a promise. Unseen, but much more than there is at face value. Christmas, the first Christmas, can easily have been overlooked. The events at Bethlehem, that pivotal moment, world-changing, history-setting event, the birth of Christ, was largely unknown and overlooked by so many. Any who noticed might have just looked and thought, just another peasant birth. But what we have there is the fulfillment of hope. The right time had arrived, as it says in Galatians 4:4, the time set had fully come. The one hoped for had arrived. The one who carried so much hope was here. The one who would give so much hope was in residence. You've heard the phrase that they never reach their full potential. You perhaps know somebody like that who seemed to have so much and yet never achieved it. There was so much promise bound up in them, talent perhaps, ability, whatever, but it was never realised. Sometimes people can waste the talent. You see them setting off on a course and then something else distracts them and they go completely different. Jesus Christ had very high goals and he reached every single one of them. He definitely reached his full potential. Tells us in Romans 5, 1-5 this. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we glory in our suffering because we know that the suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Through Christ, we can have peace with God. Through Christ, we can have access to God's grace. Through Christ, we can have hope. Christmas points to peace with God. It was announced by the angels. It wasn't actually brought about by his birth, but that was one of the events that was pivotal in achieving it. Many misinterpret the angel's message. They think, oh well, it's going to be peaceful because of Christmas. And you see events that have happened because of Christmas, but ultimately that is not what it was saying. It was saying that there will be peace between God and man. God set about reconciling people to himself. God sent his son to do something about the fact that we were his enemies. How many are aware of the unseen world? How many are aware of the fact that in our natural state we are enemies of God? It tells us in Romans 5:10, we were God's enemies. Unaware that we are at war with God. Disobedient, straying far from his path. God sent his son to make us aware and do something about it. He also sends his people to make others aware once they've been enlightened about what is going on. It's not just making aware of a problem, pointing out something that's wrong, saying that's not right. I don't know if you've ever seen the film National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. The character, the main character in the film, his desire is to have the ultimate Christmas, and as part of that, he's going to decorate his house with thousands and thousands of bulbs. He spends ages going around with a tack gun putting all these bulbs up. and he tries to light them, and nothing happens. Ultimately, he gets the lights lit. The house is ablaze with glory. And he's, oh, this is wonderful, this is so good. And he's going round all his relatives, and one, his father-in-law, says to him, the little lights aren't twinkling. Some people can be like that. They can point out a problem. They don't give you an answer. They just say, that's not right. But God doesn't leave us in that situation. He says, that's not right, and then provides the solution. Through Jesus, we can have peace that will reign. And it's an offer that's open to all. Christmas points to access to God's grace. There's a thing that's called common grace. God's grace, which is available to everyone, everyone in creation. We're told that God, through his Son, upholds the universe by his powerful word, his mighty word, the word of his power. And that's for each and every one. God provides for his creatures, it's seen in the seasons. We're told in Genesis 8:22 that as long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will never cease. When you see the cataclysmic predictions of global warming, don't believe the fact that things are going to get out of control. God has promised that those things will not cease to be. We need to play our part and do what's right, look after the earth and steward it properly, but God ultimately is in control. And that is part of his common grace. He's established various structures within human society. At the foundational level, he's instituted the human family. Yeah? Man tinkers with it and tries to change it and mess it up, but that's God's plan. God has instituted civil government. The government is called ministers of God. They're not infallible, they make mistakes, they do things wrong and at times astray against God. But God has instituted the idea of government. Common grace in man's conscience. People have a sense of right and wrong. People say things like, that's not fair. They know it's not fair. The only reason they know it's not fair is because that is God's law that's been written into each and every human heart. Common grace is God continuing to care for his creation in spite of man. A restraining of human evil, helping us to live together. But there's so much more than that. God's grace, God's special grace that he bestows upon those who are working with him. A personal intervention on an individual level. His overriding plan, which brings about great benefit for each one of us. His continual presence, his protection, his care, his guidance. That grace is available, but it's waiting, as Dave said this morning, for us to play our part and partnership with him to achieve that. God's grace is available for all. Christmas points to hope. This is better than your Christmas gifts that wear out. This will not end. This will not fail. And as it told us in Romans, it will never leave us ashamed. It'll never fail us. It'll never run out. That first Christmas was a start of hope that lasts. Hope that will not fail. Hope that will outlast the years and beyond. Hope that is guaranteed. Hope that will not disappoint. Christmas points to partnership. Receive God's grace, his peace, and his hope as we give access to God. There's that initial giving up, that initial surrendering, when we say to God, okay, I realize where I am, what I am, and who you are, and I need to do something about it. We can go it alone. Could you pop the next slide up for us, please, Stephen? We're on our own. We're simply scavenging. God's offer is to take us away from that to something better than that, to what in comparison is absolute luxury. God is making the offer, and it's us that have to act and receive that. There is so much more available than what we have. Will you take God up on his offer and make this a year to remember? The offer is there, with the peace, the grace, and the hope. And yet there's something that needs to be progressive, something that needs to develop. I work at the university and we have ID cards, and on those cards you have access through swipe doors. Pass your card through and it lets you in, if you've been granted access. Different buildings have different codes, and you can be allowed into some buildings and not in others. Some buildings are even subdivided within themselves so that more sensitive areas you're not allowed to go in. And it's very few people in the university that have open access to each and every place in each and every building. But you know, sometimes we're like that with God. In the building that I work, the basic access is in through the main door, and then you can get to certain lecture theatres, the offices, and basically that's it. And we can say to God, yeah, you can have access. You can come into my life, but I'm going to keep you at the front door. You're not going any further. You're not going to get to the sensitive areas. You're not going to get to those areas that I treasure and I keep for me. You're not allowed in there. Or are we going to turn around to God and say, you, Lord, have open access to each and every area. There are no no-go areas. We're going to say, Lord, whatever you want, wherever you want to go, whatever you want to say, it's okay by me. For us to experience all that God has, we have to give him open access. The open access is granted to those who are trusted. So do we trust God? Do we trust God to ultimately have our best, our greatest, as his greatest? Do we ultimately trust him with our lives? Each and every area of our lives, each and every portion of our lives. When he says, I want that, do we fight or do we say, Lord, it's yours? Christmas time is when God came to be with us, Emmanuel, so that ultimately we could be with him. He now makes his peace, grace and hope available in full measure. We can have them, we can experience them, but God needs full and open access. It's that partnership. As we come into the end of this year and the start of the new year, can I suggest some resolve that you might like to take? If you haven't granted any access at all, let God into your life and experience everything that he's got for you. And if God is already there, please resolve. Take a resolution. Give him full access. Thank you. Mm-hmm.